You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. You talk about your Psalms, you talk about your John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whooped your ass. I don't care what the card says. You're listening to Take Two Takedown with your hosts John and Craig. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. Give me a hell yeah.
Folks, welcome back. Episode 3, Take Two Takedown. We have returned. 3 episodes is a big deal.
Wow, that's longevity.
That's longevity. I mean, we're pretty much like series regular now. Yeah,
well, that's pretty much 3 episodes longer than we thought.
That's, yeah. I want to actually say that's probably 4 episodes longer than I thought because we actually did something.
Wow, and we put research into these?
We did.
We're really pushing it.
We did.
So, I'm John.
I'm Craig. Welcome to all of our new listeners, which we have gotten some.
Yeah.
We're pretty excited about. We have followers on Twitter. We have listeners. Like, it's kind of insane.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know a little bit about our show, we don't fall into the background. We understand there's a lot of stories going on. We don't follow Impact, Ring of Honor, that kind of stuff. We stick with WWE, the storylines and the characters there. The only other thing we stray off of is we are very big into the local wrestling scene on the East Coast, and you'll hear us talk about that. But our show mainly, all WWE, the storylines and the characters there. Because let's be honest, it's a toy box of silly stuff to play with.
It sure is, and it's great. And if we're already going to the extent of how long someone's willing to listen to us blabber about wrestling, if we start getting into New Japan and Impact and all that, it's over.
It's going to be retarded.
Yeah.
So
yes. But again, thank you. Welcome to all of our listeners. If you're not following us on Twitter, please do. At Take Two Takedown. If you followed us this weekend, you would have seen our own John live tweeting the Table, Ladders, and Chairs event, and it was pretty fucking hilarious, if I say so myself.
It was a blast to just sit there and say whatever I wanted to say into the community. I'm pretty much socially retarded, so all the feedback I got back on Twitter was amazing and glorious to me. Like, I just ate it up with a spoon.
It just feeds into your ego.
It just made it worse.
Yep, I totally understand that. I totally understand that.
Right
this past weekend, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is about Tables, Ladders, and Chairs in a 3-on-5 handicap match. And of course, the breaking news this week, the viral infection will keep Roman Reigns off the pay-per-view event tonight. But taking Roman Reigns' place, Kurt Angle.
Thank God for not calling it Hell in a Cell.
Thank God. You know, it took a lot of work. Sometimes I don't really know what I'm saying.
But in the electrotherapy room of the secret bunker under Vince McMahon's thing, we had your nipples hooked up.
They did. And luckily my nipples are electrified free.
Yeah,
right now.
So you're burnt up, but now we've got the Hell in the Cell out of your system and put TLC in.
Right. Don't worry. I'll start calling Survivor Series WrestleMania, I'm sure.
Let's be honest. It's all the same thing at this point.
It is.
But let's get into it. Very first thing, even before the show starts, we get the call. Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, making out. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened. I think they both got mono.
They both have meningitis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we're just wondering, is this a power couple in the WWE?
Right. I mean, that's a pretty powerful couple. But this came down, Thursday evening, I want to say? Like, soon after we recorded and released our episode, this information came out.
Hey, so all of a sudden we get fill-ins. And me being a mark, me being a true WWE fan, I was like, holy crap, AJ Styles and Finn Balor? Hells yeah.
Hells yeah.
We'll get into it. Mm-hmm. Then, holy crap, Kurt Angle siding with the Shield? Hells no.
No, this is weird.
Yeah, no.
This is very weird.
All right, we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
All right, so, we'll start from the beginning, from the pre-show.
Pre-show. You have your dark match, your hype match. It's Sasha Banks and Alicia Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And who didn't see this coming? Sasha Banks wins via submission.
Right.
Great, fine. And it was a decent match, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
my
exactly.
biggest problem with the whole storyline and the characters is this. How Alicia Fox, you're playing the crazy too much.
Too much.
Craig and I, being slightly retarded and having some brain damage in our lives, understand how crazy people act. And they are not like flipping, rolling eyes and being all goofy like Alicia Fox is. So cut it out. Yeah. I like the idea of the not too stable character.
I agree.
Tone it down.
I agree. There's no reason for her to go that far. It's just weird. Like it just doesn't come off. It doesn't come off well. It just comes off as too much.
And then I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, you know, going into Raw the next night where she overdid it on their promo. God, you're a beautiful woman, Fox, but stop.
Yeah.
You way overact.
Way overact.
Cut it out. So here's the match that I was pretty invested in. Asuka comes out. And it's Asuka and Emma, and we predicted in our last show Emma was going to die. We dug the 6-foot hole.
Right, like broken back, snapped neck. It was over.
Done. And I got to tell you, the match, Emma really showed up.
Yeah, like, and I was impressed that I was wondering if this match was basically, aside from a beatdown, going to basically just be Asuka holding up Emma. But I think you're right. Emma held her own, like, for the most part.
Emma showed and wrestled well.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
I don't know where that Emma has been.
No.
Like, she hasn't been on regular shows.
And that's the problem with the female division. It's like, you get a hint of glory, like, this match. This match was really good.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed because they did not play up to Asuka's abilities.
Right,
like, her striking ability and all that. She just basically took some hits and then landed her finishers.
Yeah.
But end all be all, it was a good match, and you can have this every match.
Every single time.
But no, that doesn't happen.
No.
But anyway, so, hey, Emma, great work.
Yeah.
You did well.
We're proud of you.
Yeah. And
we're proud of you.
Asuka, it's wonderful scene. I'm still going with the fact that if Asuka and Kalisto had a baby, it would be the wrestling Jesus, and we would all be delivered onto the graders of glory.
Right, right. I don't even think that baby would actually touch the ground. They would just fly from rope to rope.
And obviously always have a mask on.
Oh, obviously. Born with one.
Yeah, it would have to happen.
And then we get into Alexander and Rich Swann versus Jack Gallagher and the Byron Kendrick.
It was a match.
It was there.
Good enough. I was entertained, but let's be honest. Am I going to care about it the next night on Raw? Absolutely not.
Probably not. No.
Nope.
Did we care about it the next night on Raw?
Nope.
Sure didn't.
And I am going to say big Rich Swann fan out of Baltimore, which is pretty close to where we are in the DC area. Mm-hmm. Love
him. I mean, I like what he does, but
it's so hard with the cruiserweights for the simple fact that, like, they're very talented and I love to watch them wrestle and move, but there is no story. There is no character development.
No.
It's kind of like you're good or bad and you do good or bad things and that's it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm waiting for more.
Yeah. And I think it's there. They got to work on it.
All right. Biscuit Button Golden Girl.
Right. And I think both of us actually said Golden Girl was going to win this as her Hall of Fame, like, run, and we were wrong.
We had it. Like, we picked Mickie James. Yeah. I thought it was going to happen, but it did not.
It did not. Bliss won this somehow and retains the title.
So I'm gonna throw a few things out from this match. One, Mickie James at 38, you look beautiful in your mom jeans. The ankle pom-poms have to go.
Yes.
I don't know if I want to wear skin-tight jeans to a full-fledged ballerina's skirt.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Pick one or the other and stick with it.
Yep.
You made mom jeans hot.
Yep. She made them cool again.
I'm going to go, you are a MILF, knowing that you have a 3-year-old at home.
Oh, there you go. Done. Stated. Fact. Here.
Fact.
Episode 3. Take 2, take down.
T3. MILF.
Mark it.
I was impressed with the wrestling in this.
Yeah.
Usually Mickie James coming out, it's kind of hacky and a little choppy, and it was bad. But, like, this match, obviously there was heart in it. She had vested interest, and they performed.
Yeah.
And Bliss sells it.
Yeah, this is... I want to say this event was probably some of the more entertaining women's wrestling that they've had in a long time.
I would overall agree with you.
Like,
Mickey's delivery, Bliss selling it, and vice versa, it was awesome. And then I think the way the match ended was a good ending.
It was not expected, but it was good.
Absolutely. So, and good on you. Bliss, you're always a cutie.
Yeah.
You know, you're everybody's favorite cheerleader.
Who? Of course.
Yeah, so.
Of course. Then we get into Enzo and Kalisto.
Who didn't see Enzo winning?
Yes. And winning dirty.
Yeah, I think we predicted in our last show, he wins dirty, something with the Zoe train, who knows, but he wins, he gets the belt back. Kalisto, you are a placeholder for a week because Neville opted out.
Yeah, pretty much. They needed something. They needed a story that was bigger than Neville opting out so they could take those headlines away.
So they had to hit a pop. Yeah. And unfortunately, you got screwed because Kalisto, I think, out of right now, all of the 205 crew is probably the most talented.
I agree.
And I can't wait to see more of Kalisto. I can't wait to see him grow through this division. I can't wait to see the division grow through him.
Yep.
So
yep. Like to elevate them all up.
Big fan of the cruiserweight things. It's just they need a pop. They need a pull, a push.
Mm-hmm. And when your entire push now is Enzo, which is basically all the story they got.
But like, let's be honest. Let's go back and look at it. Enzo is a great heel.
Oh, he's great. He's great.
He's trash talking on the mic. He's a pretty shitty wrestler.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. for him to go to the dirty moves, the thumbs to the eye and all that
makes
stuff.
Makes complete sense.
It works.
Yeah, exactly. Then we get into the match, which I think we both agree. And from what it looked like on Twitter, most of the world agreed.
Oh,
Finn Balor and AJ Styles.
Oh, I'm still drooling
amazing.
Over that. Oh, my God.
Amazing.
I'm going to go past amazing and hit amaze balls.
I mean, especially since this was a two-day prep match. Like,
holy shit, the dance.
Yeah.
That wasn't a match. No. That was like a dance.
Exactly.
That was like a choreographed piece of greatness.
It was
that
fucking beautiful.
Was delivered unto us poor, moronic schleps.
Yep.
And I can't tell you, like, you know... I am a fan of the Bullet Club and everything that AJ Styles and Finn Balor did with that in New Japan and all this. And I got to tell you, to see the two of them wrestle, I was really nervous because here you have two very talented wrestlers who in and of themselves will be a historical marquee. They will be parts of legend.
Yes.
And if you bring them together, it'll be almost like a Ric Flair Hulk Hogan battle.
Yeah.
It'll be the Ultimate Warrior and just all these iconic people
put together and bringing this together with no prep, with no like build up, with no, because this is a WrestleMania style match that you could build for months. You could build the storyline, and they did it just in a couple days, and it still ended up without really any backstory behind it an amazing match to watch.
But it didn't need it, did
it? Didn't need it.
It was
it's that
Finn
good.
Fucking Balor and AJ Styles.
Exactly. And anyone who has watched wrestling, you know, in the, you know, past 3 to 4 years that did not get a tear to their eye when they together put up the two sweet symbol.
Okay.
Like, I mean, come on.
So I was putting it up with them. And
obviously.
But my favorite thing is, as I'm sitting on Twitter talking about TLC, Anderson comes and says, hey, thanks for the invite. And I'm like, dude, you're a toolbox.
Yeah,
I get that you were
exactly.
Bullet Club, but when your whole shtick right now is saying nerd and singing with Elias, the two cool kids aren't going to invite the nerds to the lunch table. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
So you kind of sealed your own fate there, Anderson.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
And your punching bag buddy.
Oh,
so,
poor guys.
But anyway, fucking glorious match.
It was.
And
it was.
The way it ended with Balor pinning AJ, I think it worked.
It did. It did. I don't think anyone looked weak.
No, nobody looked weak. There was no disrespect. And at the end, when they both threw up the two sweet, the Bullet Club, and, you know, you were just like, it's like my two long lost brothers have gotten together.
This is so beautiful. There's so much respect.
I just want to hug them.
I love everybody.
I felt like Bailey.
Yeah.
I was wanting to be a hugger at the time.
We were huggers. So if there was anybody there, would have hugged them.
All right. So, then that's followed up by Jason Jordan versus Elias.
Oh.
All right. How goofy and dumb did Jason Jordan look as he's throwing vegetables from a shopping cart?
From a shopping cart. From a shopping cart.
It looks like the only thing that would sell it even more is if he had a finger up his nose or in his ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was just goofy look on his face. I'm throwing vegetables at you. Elias tried to sell it.
Yeah. But he can't.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Like, that almost feels like someone wrote Jordan's plan for this and someone wrote Elias's and they didn't really talk to each other. Like, because I feel like it was Elias was having trouble taking it serious. Like,
and that was the problem. Like, Elias tried to sell it, but you could tell it was just so moronic to him that he was like, why am I even fucking doing this?
Exactly. Exactly.
And Jason Jordan, though, he had total buy-in. He had that goofy look on his face. He's like, I'm enjoying growing vegetables. I am Kurt Angle's son. Yay, you will love me and respect me. And guess what? We're going to fight later.
We're going to fight.
Who didn't see that?
Of course.
Not once, but twice.
Yeah.
So My problem with the whole TLC thing is outside of the AJ Styles, Finn Balor match and then later the Shield, the rest of it just felt like a not even a good Raw episode.
No, no. There was nothing that was like this was that if this was the old days, if I had paid 50, 60 bucks to watch this, yeah. I would have been pissed.
Absolutely. So anyway, they get into a tussle. They wrestle. Jordan wins. Who cares?
Who cares?
All right. Mm-hmm. Then
the only TLC match in the entire TLC.
That actually involved tables, ladders, and chairs.
Right. Which I still have yet to understand.
The Miz, The Bar, Strowman, Kane come down.
Yeah.
And we are waiting. We want to know what the Shield's going to do. We know Kurt Angle's their third man.
Right.
And let's be honest, Craig, I think you nailed it on the head when you said it was like taking your grandpa to the movies.
Right. That's pretty much exactly what it was.
And the worst part was when they pan to the Shield coming down through the crowd and it's Kurt Angle standing behind. He had the goofiest grandpa
look at me.
Like all he needed was the white crusty in the right. corner of his mouth. Like,
exactly.
Yes.
I felt like his hand would have raised me like, hi guys, I'm on TV.
Look at me. I'm going to do something. So
like ridiculous to see, especially when you have Ambrose and Rollins looking so hard like in front of them. And then he comes out wearing the same tack vest. Now, it's like, what? But come on.
I got to ask you, did they allow him to wear the tack vest to hold the gut in?
I think that's the only reason. I'm going to imagine he was wearing Roman Reigns' actual tack vest to try and hold everything in.
And girdle.
Yes.
But I mean, I'm going to say, you know, for being what? 89 years old, I think, Kurt Angle is.
At minimum. He's at least collecting Social Security.
He's got some sweet grandpa arms.
He does have.
Like,
I mean,
I hope at his age.
Those arms he's definitely been working on. Like,
but, I mean, the fact that he can't close his mouth.
Ever. It's just a smile all the time.
So they come down, and I'm thinking, how are they going to sell the Shield taking two of the biggest powerhouses on.
Right, and you're not even the Shield now. You're two-thirds of the Shield.
You're like
plus
the tag
one more.
Team champs and Kurt Angle.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And you're more worried about who's changing his depends on the garment than who you're fighting in the mat. But they come out, they start swinging chairs.
Yeah.
The great equalizer.
Yeah.
So, and it's great.
And it's great. And I think the way that they started to do it, which was the way that this could, only way this could work, is you start to have Kane and Strowman start to battle each other. Because it's the only way you can get this match to make any sense.
We all watched the match. If you didn't watch the match, go watch it. It's an amazing
one. At least watch Finn Balor and AJ Styles and then the final match.
The other ones you can fast forward.
Right, yeah.
In the match, The Miz brings in a trash truck. And he was doing the promo throughout the week that we are going to treat these people like trash. That's what they are to us.
Yep.
So the trash truck comes in and you're like, oh, hi, I get the shtick. At some point, they throw Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins in the trash truck. They climb up to the top, jump off. They are dropping elbows, making magic happen. They're getting their ass whipped. It's everything you thought this match would be.
Mm-hmm.
But in there, they're in the middle of the ring prior to the trash truck, and Kane accidentally, I just made the bunny ears. Yeah. Accidentally. Oh, wait, before we go any further, I haven't said it yet. Becky Lynch, I love you.
Oh, mm-hmm. Obviously.
So Kane accidentally hits Braun Strowman with the chair.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The two of them face one of the, you know, the monster among men and the big red machine are staring each other down. Okay, what have you. Then Trash Truck comes in, you see all that fight. Then all of a sudden, Kane and Strowman are fighting.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, what is happening right now? But like I said, it's the only way that you can make this two-thirds of a Shield and a commissioner versus five to work.
And guess what? Prior to all of that, everybody's favorite grandpa, Kurt Angle, gets hurt and has to be taken to the back. So now it's 2-on-5.
Right, which is obviously, I'm assuming their plan of, well, he can't go for 20 minutes. We're going to do this, take him back, give him some oxygen, give him some water, cool him off, then he can come run back out.
Yeah. They had to give him a shot of whatever horse steroid he's on.
And inject some 5-hour energy just directly into his veins.
Like, we know it's going to kill you in 5 days, but we get
but
you
tonight. But it's totally worth it.
Worth it. Anyway, so he's gone. It's those two. They're getting their ass whipped. It's everything you thought. Then the Kane and the Strowman thing happens.
Right.
And
I mean, I did enjoy the chairs hanging from the ceiling like they often have. And Kane just dropping them on Strowman like 30 fucking chairs.
And oh my God, he's still
dead.
So I'm trying not to rehash the entire match because then you'll just hear the true marks and nerves that we right. just go, oh, this was great. But anyway, eventually Strowman gets thrown in the back of the trash truck. Right. The trash truck operator then closes the trash truck and drives off.
You know, the thing that crushes trash.
My favorite part, though, is when you're looking on the Twitter universe, everybody's like, oh, my God, that's murder. They killed Strowman.
He's being crushed right now.
And all I got to say is, and I put this on Twitter, is you got to understand it's a WWE contract. No holds bar. Nothing is illegal.
Nothing.
That is higher than the law of the land.
Including maiming and death.
I mean, because it goes from, like, the hand of God to maybe the Son of God to Vince McMahon.
Right, right.
And I say maybe the Son of God because Vince McMahon may be Jesus Christ.
He may, for all we know.
We don't know.
If nothing else, he at least owns Jesus Christ. Like, money-wise.
I would agree.
Those two matches pretty much were the highlights of the event.
All right, so we get pretty much the new progressive stories from those two. Now, we won't see AJ and Finn again until Survivor Series.
Right.
And I'll be all, this is what's going to push the Shield further. And I think what you're going to see is a little bit more with the Bar and the Miz and the Shield until Roman gets back and they can redevelop a story for him.
Right, right. But, and I think I like the fact, and we'll get into this, I like the fact that now between Raw and SmackDown, they're basically going to have, you know, 4 weeks or so to build up to Survivor Series.
Thank God. Maybe
so
they
you can build stuff up.
Work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not trying to rush things through in 2 weeks like they do all the time. So let's get into Raw. Let's get into Raw. It started with Kurt Angle coming out and announcing some Survivor Series matches that we already knew.
What is wrong with you?
There's so much.
I need to take you back to the electrode
there's
room?
So much wrong with me. It's
light your ass up again.
That's what happens when you start drinking at 9 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, that is your problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. So anyway, we're going to Raw recap. Kurt Angle comes out.
Right. He starts announcing Survivor Series. We got Biscuit Butt versus Natalya.
Yep. That's true. So we get the matches right off the bat.
We get the matches right off the bat.
These are all title belts.
Right. All title fights. So we knew were going to happen anyway.
Okay. So I'm surprised you didn't go this route. You have Biscuit Butt versus Fatty Natty.
Ooh. Gosh. It was right there. It was right there.
Where were you?
I know.
Okay. Biscuit Butt versus Fatty Natty. I like it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like you said, The Miz and Corbin, I don't think they're putting belts up against each other. I think it's just for bragging rights.
Yeah, I think it's just got to be bragging
rights. It's like,
rights,
who's
right?
better, SmackDown or Raw?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, then you get the tag team champions, Rollins and Ambrose versus the Usos.
Yeah.
And
say it.
And
speak then, your mind. Speak your
okay.
mind, John.
So I'm looking at it, Alexa Bliss and Natalya. Natalya is obviously the better talent. Alexa Bliss is the better sell.
Yes. Yes. Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed.
Then I look at The Miz and Corbin. The Miz is the better package.
Yep.
But Corbin is the better beast. Like, I want Corbin to win just because he is more like the end of days. And,
right,
and
this right.
shit. But I'm getting tired, real tired of the Baron Corbin who's losing and then losing his temper because of it.
Yeah. I think that is a tendency that it's going to play out too much.
And he's much more talented than that.
He is.
Let him
he
be.
Is.
Rollins and Ambrose versus the Usos. I think this has the makings of a great match.
I think it will, too.
I mean, the Usos,
especially recently, I think have been really strong. I mean, Ambrose and Rollins together are always really strong. I think together, this can look really good.
I agree. The problem I'm going to have with it, though, is Rollins and Ambrose will either go, you know, and I love Dean. Do you go like old Shield where it was very covert and straightforward and all business, or do you go let Dean off the chain?
Right, go lunatic fringe.
Fight 4, 5, 6, 29 of you.
Yeah,
I don't care. Bring
exactly.
It.
Bring everybody related to the Usos. We will fight Roman Reigns with you.
Yeah. And The Rock.
And The Rock.
And Jimmy Snuka.
Yep. Bring them all.
Just bring them all. We got this. But I mean, and then the thing I have with the Usos is, hey, you know what? I love day one-ish. I love the penitentiary. I love the fact that you got it on lockdown. But you go from being like what a stereotypical thug would be, like what I see on TV,
right,
to being the comedic impersonation of that.
Yes, yes.
You know, mm-hmm. like listening to you last night or
doing
the other
that
night
commentary.
On,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You were horrible.
Exactly. Exactly. And, right. and that's one of the things I'm worried about in these weeks leading up to Survivor Series. Is that just going to get worse?
I think so. So I'm going to do my best Kurt Angle imitation here.
Okay.
And we're going to have a match between Jinder Mahal
WWE Champion Jinder Mahal will take on the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar.
I think that's how you say his name. I mean, he's only a champion, you fucking idiot. Jinder Mahal, we knew from last week that he had called out Brock Lesnar as a challenge. And we know it's going to happen. It has to happen. It's going to be glorious. We'll all eat it up with a spoon. But now the funniest thing is just how many times can Kurt Angle mess up Jinder Mahal's name?
Because I can't imagine that he didn't go over in his head the lines he was going to say in front of somebody. And someone didn't say, hey, dude, that's not how you say his name.
Do you think his caretaker, the one that also gives him sponge baths
right. And
feeds him, like, rice pudding,
because
that's all he can chew as an old man,
right.
Do you think his caretaker was like, no, sir, it's Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahay.
Mahay-ho.
Mahay-ho.
Is that exactly what happened.
And then finally his caretaker said, just say what you want.
Just whatever. Just do what you want.
You fucking old fart. I quit.
Quit. I'm over.
So anyway... Who doesn't see Brock Lesnar eating the soul of Jinder Mahal?
I mean, he pretty much has to.
Unbelievable. And then we get the announcement that there's going to be 5-on-5 elimination matches. Not just men this time, but women too.
Right. And I believe when watching this, I think in our own private pre-show text conversation I had was, are there 10 women that are worth watching?
Yeah, I mean, and let's be honest, I pretty much crush on all of them.
But I can't, like, I feel like you can get a strong 6 or 8 out of both shows. When you go to 10, you're starting to pull some of those like, oh, I forgot she wrestled.
But not even females, males as well.
Males as well.
Give me, that aren't in a match already, give me 5 from SmackDown right off the bat. You can be like, yeah, that'll work.
If we can count the New Day as 3, that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but let's be honest, our boy, Mojo Riley.
He showed up big this week.
Oh, okay. We
get so far ahead of ourselves.
All right. So Raw starts out with Ambrose and Rollins and a mystery partner wrestling The Miz, Sheamus, and Cesaro. And the mystery partner turns out to be AJ Styles. First of all, as a fan, I'm like, you got two of my favorites, Seth and Dean, together, and I'm happy. I'm happy as, you know, shit right now.
Yep.
And then you throw an AJ on there, and although he's a soccer mom and he's got Billy Ray Cyrus hair, you know, I love watching him wrestle.
I agree.
So you put that dream team together, and I'm like, we all know who's going to win this, right?
Of course we do. Of course we do.
Yeah. But I'm just excited to watch it, and I'm drinking it in, I'm eating it with the spoon, and it was glorious.
It was glorious.
So I can't understand how Raw ends, but we'll get into that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know we're rushing a little bit, but there's a lot to go over.
There's a lot. There is a lot.
So, this was one of my favorite parts of Raw. Kane comes out, and he kind of gives you an explanation of what the hell's going on with him. Because you're like, dude, he comes out, he attacks Roman. Then he comes out, and he gets in a fight with Braun Strowman, one that he picked.
Right, right.
And he's like, you know what? I'm going to call out my competition. I'm back. I'm the Big Red Monster. I'm the Machine. I am the Eater of Souls. I do what I want to do. I'm Kane.
Kane!
Motherfucking Kane! All right? So Kane comes in, and he starts raising Kane.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's like, give me someone.
Yeah. Which I love these things. I loved it even when Cena did it. The I'm calling out competition, and you just stare at the ramp, waiting to see waiting to see who's going to come down. And 50% of the time, I'm like, holy shit, didn't even see that coming.
No. And I didn't see this one coming, because who shows up? Buck 30 wet Finn Balor?
Yeah. Yeah, I give him props for trying to take on a 400-pound man or whatever Kane weighs now.
Like, here's my problem, though. Like, you throw a Finn Balor who is incredibly talented.
Incredibly.
You throw him in a match with AJ Styles the night before, and it is like a beautiful ballet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it is gorgeous to watch, and I am just enamored. I got twinkly eyes and all this stuff, and I am loving every minute of it. And then you throw him out as cannon fodder to Kane.
Yeah.
And Kane just basically throws him around the ring. He lands a few of his little thingies here and there, but we all know Kane's going to beat the piss out of him.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So, and that's what happened. Kane wins, but, you know, you're looking at him, and it's like, look, you built Balor up one night, and then you totally drop him the next night. What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, they couldn't make their decision as to what they want to do.
So, and then Emma, the night after TLC on her big loss, she goes, I'm not over yet. I'm going to, you know, come back and fight Asuka again, and you'll see I'm talented, and da-da-da-da-da. And it was just the redo of the match.
The same match, not even 24 hours later.
And Emma gets some good moves in again. I'm impressed. This time they let Asuka show more of her striking ability and a few more of her moves, and this was really good. And, mm-hmm. I mean, but I was like, I just saw it. So, and then this is the one that drives me fucking batty. All right, so now we're going to have a triple threat match for the Raw Women's Team Captain. First of all, who gives a flying fuck?
The captain means not, it's not like the captain picks the teams.
No.
This is, you know, this isn't fucking dodgeball. Like, the teams are picked for them. The captain does what exactly?
Okay, you hit your finishing move, then I hit my finishing.
Right, yeah.
Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for the women. I don't care for the men. The 5-on-5 is just a filler thing for me, and it's to get your, you know, lower A, upper B card some face time on the pay-per-view.
Yep.
So I get it. So we have this triple threat. It's Alicia Fox versus Bayley versus Sasha Banks. Now, I'm going to be honest. I honestly thought they'd give it to Bayley.
I thought they would, too.
She's the happy hugger, and she's going to promote cohesiveness.
Right, we can be a team together, guys. Like,
but they give it to Alicia Fox, and she wins, and she overplays the crazy. We talked about it, but hey, let's see where the story goes.
Let's see. I mean, maybe the fact that they got a crazy captain means something crazy is going
to
happen.
We'll see some gimmick work, or, you know, Lisa will give me something to giggle about. And
right.
Let's be honest, I like staring at Alicia Fox's booty, so.
There you go. I'm sure you'll get a lot of that if she's screaming at people.
Yeah, I don't care. I just want her to do the hand flick, pop the butt out, and, you know, sway her hip from one side to the other so I can just watch it go from left to right.
That's all I want. That's it. And then we had the beast incarnate himself, Brock Lesnar, come out with Paul Heyman. They accept Jinder Mahal's challenge.
Kurt, is that you? Okay, but so here's the thing. And this is the first opportunity we've got to talk about it. I love Paul Heyman.
He is so good.
Okay, so watching Brock Lesnar, he is a devastating machine. He gets out in the ring. He beats people up. He'll take a few punches. But let's be honest, Lesnar is Lesnar.
Yeah, and the fact that they put him with Heyman, whoever decided that at some point years ago, was genius.
So Paul Heyman out of ECW was just amazing. But to come in and be the advocate to Brock Lesnar, and just, I am completely taken. I wish one day I would have half the ability Paul Heyman does to sell whatever it is
he wants.
He can totally diss the whole WWE universe, and you're like, he's such a nice guy.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the way he accepts a challenge, like,
I mean,
oh my God.
It was verbal beauty. Like, it was like watching wrestling poetry happen.
It, you know, where they talk like boxing is the beautiful sport of beating somebody up.
Mm-hmm.
Just listening to his words is like somebody taking a strike and you're like, I don't know what happened there, but it was amazing.
It was beautiful to see.
It
was beautiful. Oh, and somehow he builds up every other opponent that Brock has had, and so how much he respects them and how much he appreciates what they did, and then just demolishes Jinder in like, who are you? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to prove? This is barely worth our time, but we accept your challenge.
Yeah. So it was just, if you have to watch one thing from Raw and one magic moment, just listen to Heyman accept the challenge on Brock's behalf. Because I can listen to Paul Heyman sell me somebody's dirty underwear, and I would buy 4 pairs.
Yep. Totally agree.
Because I love me some Paul Heyman.
I totally agree.
So, and Brock, I mean, you are the muscle to his mouth.
Yeah. And he does it well.
Yeah.
He does it well.
I'm not going to lie. And I think it's going to take a special story because, let's be honest, Brock is a every now and then champion. And eventually, that is going to have to go away.
Yes.
You can't have a pay-per-view champion. You got to have more, especially if you're going to keep driving these dumbass stories where it's every other week something's going to change.
Yeah.
So, anyway, love you, Paul Heyman. If I could ever meet you in person or have you talk on our podcast, I would just cease to live. I would just be the moment.
That's the moment right there. That's the end. The end of the podcast will be when we get Paul Heyman on. We can't get better.
That would be it. There would be no going back.
Nope.
That would be like it. Yeah. Let's move on. So then after that glorious speech by Paul Heyman, Grandpa comes back out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He got the crusties out of the corner of his mouth. And he comes out to announce his elimination teams. And what the hell happens?
I felt like something would happen. The way he was building up to, I'm going to announce these teams, the first member of my team. And then you have Shane come out. Shane shows up in the audience, coming down like the Shield.
Not just Shane, though.
And then behind him is everybody from the SmackDown roster.
If you're not wrestling Tuesday night, you were behind Shane McMahon.
Yes, exactly. Like, it was ridiculous. All of these people come out. And I love this kind of stuff. I love when they empty out the locker rooms. I love when they show the whole roster. Because it's like a class reunion of, oh, shit, I forgot about him.
And I'm a total mark for all of it, too. I'm like, oh, here they are. What's going to happen? Now, I thought it would be more friendly and, like, the blue team would surround the ring and then Kurt Angle would do one of those, well, I've got some friends too.
Right. And
they would
exactly.
come out and be like a staring contest, and that's how it ends.
No.
But no. No. Shane goes, blue team, get them. And here's where I lost it. Okay, so the apple of my eye, the beauty of my life, the woman that I would leave other women for, Becky Lynch.
Yes.
Is part of this blue team. On top of that, one of our favorites, Mojo Rawley, is not only hyped, but he's keeping everyone else hyped.
If there was an instigator in this fight that was not Shane McMahon, I feel it was Mojo just screaming the entire time, let's go! Get him! Yeah.
And then, but like in that group, you have like an AJ Styles and New Day and all this stuff, and they're just going, and you're, as a viewer, you're led to believe that because we are Team Blue, we are Team SmackDown, we hate Raw.
Right, and we will literally find them where they are sleeping and showering
yes.
and resting and attack them.
We will hunt them down and eat their souls.
Exactly.
But
I think we should go on the positives of this. I loved Baron Corbin just attacking a random key grip or whatever that
like, who are you? Smack the headphones off and throw
them out.
And then what is Ty Dillinger there? They'll go, I'm going to get this TV.
Blink, blink. Perfect dead. I can do everything.
Perfect 10. I turned the TV down. But then it's like my favorite. They're going through the halls. They beat up a few people. And then all of a sudden, they come across women wrestlers.
They're like, oh, no, what do we do?
Everybody step back. Let the ladies up front. And then you got Natty and Becky Lynch and all of them staring it down. And you knew they were going to fight. But the worst part was it's kind of like, oh, wait, time out. Switch teams.
We can't touch them. We got to let the ladies touch each other.
So, but I bought into it. But if you watch, like, the female wrestlers on SmackDown, when they were smacking down on the dudes, they were in the mix, too,
of course.
Smacking them down.
They can smack the dudes. We just can't go vice versa.
And I'm not saying that it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just saying it's very funny how pronounced it is
yes.
in WWE.
Yes. And I think we both laughed about the fact that as they're then continuing to walk through, out of the fucking dark loading dock comes Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose with chairs and like, I'm going to get them all. And Rollins jumps over everybody.
But let's be honest. The Shield was the only one that did anything in offense.
The only one.
I mean, it was a hot second. And then my boy Dean gets thrown into the empty beer kegs.
Right. Because those are there all the time.
I happen to have them in the backstage of my room.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, you know, so as unbelievable as it was, I had total buy-in. I was
the
like,
whole
this
time.
Is great.
And then they bring in Kurt and they make him watch Dean and Rollins get beaten down. Like, you're going to watch this now. And then just bring him out. They bring him out to the ring. They bring him to Shane and Shane's just like, yeah, under siege. And then they just walk away.
So you really sold the hashtag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest. He did because we've been using it
I've been using it in general life now.
Yeah. I think I walked in, and as we were entering the bunker today, I just like, I'm in under siege.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I look at pizza now, and it's like, yep, the pizza's under siege.
Under siege. Ooh, I like that.
You like it, don't you?
I like it a lot. So we end with that, where it's kind of like, yep, under siege, and then we go black.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm hooked.
I'm hooked.
Ready.
I'm hooked. I'm in on this story.
That next day, I'm talking to my buddy Craig, and I'm like, hey, Craigers, one, Raw last night. Fucking amazing.
Fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. And two, I need to know what happens tonight.
You gotta know what happens. They kept it going. They kept that soap opera going of, I need to know what happens on SmackDown now as a retaliation to this.
Yep. Which is rare for us.
Very rare. Very rare that you have to watch one after the other to really understand what's going on.
Exactly. So now we get into SmackDown, and the opening of the show is Shane coming out, and we are all waiting for the, you know, here's what happened, and then we're waiting for Raw to retaliate. Right, and all right, this. Yeah. And so we're waiting, and my boy Sami Zayn comes down.
Sami Zayn. I mean,
Just comes down, but dancing, goofy.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't want to get into it, but I remember when you were a heel in NXT, and you were fucking awesome. Yes. What is this Sami Zayn,
this
like,
goofiness in front of Shane, like...
It's like Keebler elf magic, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to be the bad guy. I don't get it.
I don't know where they're going with it. I don't... The idea of goofiness and him and this whole persona of, I'm just going to do what I want, doesn't seem to mesh well together.
No, I like the I'm going to do what I want to get what I need to get by. I like the idea that, hey, I'm just who I was. But be who you were, Sammy. You're overplaying the carefree, everybody's best friend kind of thing.
Yes.
And, you know, just tone it down. It just drives me fucking bonkers.
Exactly. So Shane tells him that if he wants to be on the elimination team, he has to fight Randy Orton that night. So, I mean, I enjoyed that match announcement. Like, I was like, oh, hey, that's kind of interesting.
And there's a little history there because they just won last week.
Yep.
With Sami Zayn winning with a low blow to Orton.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say or predict anything, but I pretty much assume Randy Orton would do something questionable to win the match.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But then I was thinking after the secondary promo, and this is getting a little ahead in the thing, but the secondary promo where they're in the locker room and Owen sits down with Sammy and says, hey, you know, and Sammy comes up, hey, I win my match, you win your match,
right, we'll be each other's captain.
Shinsuke, and then we'll both be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was thinking, well, maybe they'll let him win. He'll cheat again, but they'll let him win.
Right, right.
Because, you know, speaking of everybody's favorite grandpa, Orton's looking old.
He is. And I don't know if it's everyone else keeps getting younger or what, but he's... The age is starting to show on the Viper.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, neither of us are ones to talk, but...
I'm glorious at my age.
Glorious.
Go fuck yourself.
Glorious.
But anyway, so we get that announcement. And now we get to what you so aptly named the Benjables.
Benjables.
Versus the New Day.
Mm-hmm. And the Benjables win. And it's like, I mean, it's one of those like... Hey, like, all right.
I think you take a well-known team like the New Day, and you let the Benjables win against them to bolster the Benjables against the Usos.
Correct. Because that's all you can do. I mean, if the New Day wins, then it's like, all right, well, why are you even going to have the Benjables fight anybody else? Like,
and we all know, with the matches that this has been, the New Day can't have the belts for a while.
Correct.
And they have enough staying power on their own for who they are and their characters.
Exactly. Their characters, their entrance, they can always have that power to keep going into matches. Like,
and I think we said it in last week's episode where it was like, you know, there are no other teams right now that have enough charisma and ability to play up to an Usos New Day.
Right.
I think the only one you have is, as you said, the Benjables.
The Benjables. And you got to, you know, they got 4 weeks to build that up. So
we're looking at it. But anyway, the Benjables win. Good for them. I still love me some Shelton Benjamin. For being such a good guy, he is very talented and very acrobatic.
Agreed.
So I love watching him wrestle, and I've always liked Chad Gable. I'm glad he dropped the Ready, Willing, and Gable shtick.
Yes.
But, you know, you and your cheerleader headband need to seriously think about cutting the mullet-looking thing.
That definitely needs to go.
So
that definitely needs to go. And I know normally we don't discuss a lot of things like the Fashion Files. But the fact that they did that Reservoir Dogs parody to me was
hilarious. Let's be honest, Reservoir Dogs is one of our favorites.
Yes. And them both saying, no, we're both Mr. Pink.
Yeah. You're Mr. Tickle Me Pink and you're Mr. Hot Pink.
Yes. Exactly. I love that.
Oh, God. I ate up all the little innuendos with a spoon. Hey, yes. When you watch these things, like most of the time I'm like, oh, this is going to be awful. But I love looking at the backdrop because have you ever looked at the pictures they have on the corkboard?
No, they're like,
look at them. There are little inside jokes on the WWE, and it's hilarious.
Yes, and now they're talking about they previewed to a Stranger Things now. The next episode. Like,
I think it's great.
I love it. If they could keep this going the whole time, I'm totally down with that.
So Fandango and Breeze, I mean, great, great thing.
Yes.
The Ascension kind of played the straight man to your shtick.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I get it, but you are downplaying what could be a pretty awesome team. Oh, so you had the Ascension that could be, you know, probably the counter to the Bludgeon Brothers, as in like one bad team fighting another. But now you got Victor and Connor just being doofballs.
Yeah, exactly. And that doesn't work for their character. It works for Breezango.
I love it, actually. Yeah. I love that storyline. Like, you know, not a big fan of Tyler Breeze, or I don't know if they're not letting him wrestle or play the wrestle, but I liked him when he was the Prince Pretty, and I liked it.
Yeah.
I genuinely watched it and was entertained by it. I loved Fandango when he came out with the dance. I would do the little disco dance as well. And I mean, and the two of them together, just as they keep building up these fashion file things, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. So, entertaining.
It's a nice little break. It's a non-wrestling thing in their show that I actually enjoy.
Yeah. And I'm kind of hooked. I want to know what 2B is. I want to know where the suitcase is. Yep. I want to know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. So I'm in. But then we have a rematch. Cut it out.
Okay.
Then we have a rematch between Baron Corbin and Sin Cara. And here's where I thought, you know, Baron Corbin would come and it'd be shitty, but he wins by cheating or something.
Yeah.
And everything's good. And the match was pretty good, and they let Corbin come out strong.
Yes, exactly.
Then Sin Cara comes back, and he hits a move, and Corbin loses it.
Mm-hmm. And like we were talking before, this is a shtick they seem to be going for. They're going to this well a little too much.
Okay. Well, I agree with that. I did like it. It was a sell. Like, for me, Corbin genuinely looked like he... I don't want to say broke character, but it looked like he was genuinely upset and didn't care if he was disqualified or not. He was going to beat up Sin Cara.
He was going to keep fighting, yeah.
And he did beat up Sin Cara. So I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm.
This time I liked it. Like the other time, just
right. When it happens next week and the week after that, will you still like it?
So here's one of my favorites. So Jinder Mahal comes back out and he's doing his shtick about how he's going to beat up Lesnar and that he's more than a match. Screw you, Paul Heyman.
Right.
And then AJ Styles comes out and he's like, all right, kid sister, go beat him up. Now, the big brother, the bully on the block, wants to stay in the ring, and the ref like ushers him out, and all of a sudden the commentators are like, oh, that's the greatest call ever. It's fucking Jinder Mahal. He's a champion. You're going to take what's selling and push him off screen.
Right.
Yeah, fine. Who did not see the outcome of this match?
I mean, if anyone had the Singh brother winning... you're an idiot.
Yeah. So AJ Styles not only wins, but he does it in like 39 seconds.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You know,
it's
slaps
ridiculous.
Him a few times and pins him. Well, it doesn't pin him. He submits him. But anyway, who didn't see the next thing?
Oh,
if one brother can't do it, the other one will.
Right.
So not only my kid sister, but his older sister is going to beat you up.
Exactly. Stephanie Tanner might not win, but DJ Tanner is going to come kick your ass.
The full health. It comes full around. That's awesome. So DJ Tanner's next.
Right. DJ Tanner's next, and we got to look out.
And then what happens? You finally get to meet Uncle Jesse?
Right. Uncle Jesse. Well, I feel like with the hair, Uncle Jesse is AJ Styles.
Okay, so then... Does that make Bob Saget Jinder Mahal?
Yes, Jinder Mahal is Bob Saget in our world.
So you get to meet Danny Tanner. And
right, exactly. Danny, it's going to be Danny Tanner and Jesse versus each other.
That's awesome.
Hey, cut it out.
And he did the finger movements, guys. If you remember Full House, he did the whole cut it out. That's awesome. So anyway, next week we get to see AJ Styles beat up another one of the Singh brothers. And it pisses me off because if you watch the Cruiserweight intro, the 205 Live intro, where they had the representatives from all the nations, both the Singh brothers have talent. They can move. They can fly around the ring. They did great. I love them as Jinder's entourage.
Yes.
I love them. It's great. But give them the ability to demonstrate their talents. Let them wrestle, too.
Yeah. Like, I even feel when you had J&J Security, they at least had more... wrestling like ability brought forth. Like, I feel like when he's fighting DJ Tanner, we're talking like a 50-second fight as opposed to 39 seconds.
Okay, so here's my thing. How great would it be, and Joey Mercury, we know you're here on the East Coast listening, how great would it be to have J&J Security come back as something for someone
yep.
so that we can have this Jinder Mahal Singh Brothers, J&J Security, and whomever.
Dude, I think you may have just written the storyline after Survivor Series.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome.
You lead that up to WrestleMania?
Not?
Like, I would love that.
That would be awesome.
I would love that.
All right. So let's put that on our to-do list.
All right. All right.
We will write that down, sneak it up to the office, put it on McMahon's desk.
All right.
Let him think that he had an original thought.
Right.
And whoever does it, whoever pulls the short straw, has to be a six-pack of beer down, too.
Done.
Cool.
Done.
All right.
Then we get into the fatal five-way on this side for the women's captain. Because, once again, the captains don't matter. But let's have a fatal five-way for it this time.
Well, we had to do something. And Daniel Bryan, everybody's favorite kid brother. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go horse face.
Yes.
Miss Woo.
Yep.
Don't strut, just woo.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Naomi, I feel your glow.
Feeling the glow. And
the only thing I have to say is, as a dude, I prefer that you lose the fluorescent mink that you were wearing, because the glow that I want to see is what's bouncing when you're dancing.
Understandable.
And Tamina?
I forgot you were a wrestler.
No,
I'm not going to lie.
I'm hoping they develop your talent,
mm-hmm.
but stay off the mic.
Yes.
And then
your glorious redheaded angel.
Oh, beauty amongst beauty. Talent amongst talent.
Your Irish lass, who goes on to win and become the captain.
Yes. Now, I got to say, in the promo for it and all that, and even during the match, Lana is out. Lana is part of it, and she's pissed off because she's not going to get to be one.
Right, right. Because Daniel Bryan said, no, yeah. not
who,
you.
Who does not see Lana being in this match somehow?
Somehow.
Anyway, so Lynch wins, and I'm amazed. Like, I thought they would give it to, like, Naomi or something as a bone after, like, you lost your title.
Right,
but
right.
You're still pretty cool. The fans love you. We love you. We love all these female wrestlers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, our only thing is we don't think they're getting enough story time, and they need to work their craft, because there are a lot of matches where you are missing strikes, and it is super obvious.
Yes.
Including this one.
Yes.
And as much as I love Becky Lynch, because Becky Lynch, God, I love you. I think that's like 4,000 times so far in 3 episodes that I've professed my love for her.
Eventually we will have, around Valentine's Day, I'm thinking the Benchy. The Becky Lynch love episode, where I'll just edit all of these together into one long episode and send it to her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't be like stalkerish or creepy at all.
Totally normal.
No.
Totally normal.
No. So anyway, but even in this match, there's missed strikes. You can see that they're like, okay, I got to duck now. Oh, wait, yeah, I got to duck now.
Yeah.
So, but it was good enough.
Good enough. And I will say, I feel that there is some potential in a storyline there of a crazy-ass Fox on one side, and then Becky Lynch, who has some crazy in her, but will still be like, what is wrong with this woman?
I want to kind of see them build it as crazy ass Fox. They're in the match together, and all of a sudden, crazy ass Fox does something. And like you said, Becky Lynch kind of hits it with the, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going straight fire.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're done.
Yeah.
And beats the piss out of beautiful Alicia Fox.
That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes over the next few weeks.
All right, so now we get into our main event, the last match of the night. And let me ask you this. I was expecting, honestly expecting, because they kept playing it up like, oh, there's security at every door and blah, blah, blah. And then they have the whole Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon thing about, I made the call, said Shane. And Daniel Bryan goes, yeah, because that's in your job title, not mine. So Daniel Bryan is washing his hands, being the consummate good guy.
Right.
Shane's being the dirty bird here. I get it. Fine, whatever. But I was genuinely thinking that somebody from Raw was going to come in and cause some havoc.
Yeah, I just assumed that was going to happen. Like, that is what this... I actually didn't even know this match would happen. Like, I assumed this was going to start, and then Raw would descend upon the arena.
My thinking was... Or, I guess, if I had written it, I would have been like, all right, Kane wants to be, like, the monster. They unleash Kane.
Yeah.
And you just see Kane roaming the back, just beating the piss out of people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Whatever. So the match goes down.
Yeah, the match goes down, and then Orton wins.
Well, no, I mean, I get it, kind of. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought Sammy would win, but afterwards, when it happened, I was like, okay, I see what they did here.
Well, this is a way to keep Orton in it, because you can still continue on with a storyline for Sami Zayn that will lead to a match in Survivor Series.
Look, I've said it, I posted it on Twitter, I've done everything. I've said this about Randy Orton. Randy Orton, I love watching you RKO anyone, yes. Especially Rusev.
Of course.
Rusev sells the RKO like nobody else.
Yes. It is a skill.
God, Rusev, you are amazing in selling getting hit. Mm-hmm. Like, you made Cena look good, which is an amazing feat.
An amazing talent.
I don't think Rusev gets enough talent.
Yes.
Or enough
credit.
Credit for his talent. Thank you. But, and Randy Orton wins the same way that Zayn won the week before. Low blow.
Low blow and then RKO, yeah.
And how many times did we sit here and go, justified.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm good. And I'm good that it happened in front of Kevin Owens. So, you know, good on him. And then at the end, you have the cutaway to Shane and Daniel Bryan standing there. And you get the story ending of, well, nothing happened tonight. Yeah, not tonight.
Dun, dun, dun.
So you know it's coming.
Right, yeah.
And we all know it's
coming. We all know it's going to come. I'm interested to see if they go the same route of, you know, like we're saying, Raw, entire roster attacking, or they do something that I think would be a little smarter, like Kane alone attacking, or, you know, almost like they're going to sneak in and, like, sneak attack a few at a time, like, taking people down. Like, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, so we'll go with it.
Mm-hmm. So, for this week, who is your face or heel of the week?
See, now, here's my issue. The last 2 weeks in our two episodes, I've gone heel both times.
Yes.
And I want to kind of go face.
I can see that, but heels are sometimes so much more entertaining.
Oh, their stories are so much better.
So much better.
But I'm going to flip the card on you a little bit with this one.
Okay.
I'm going to go, my face of the week is Braun Strowman.
Ooh.
Kane turned him.
I think you and may actually be right about this.
And I'm looking at it now is Braun Strowman's not going to be like the consummate good guy where he's going to come in and try to save the world. But Braun Strowman is going to come in with his mission and we are all going to be behind him because now Braun Strowman has been wronged by Kane and he will take the big red machine, beat him down, do mean things to him, and then we want to wait and see what happens next.
I like that.
So I'm going Braun Strowman as my face of the week. Although he could be considered a heel. And you, sir, where are you going?
I think I may throw you for a loop here, too.
Ooh.
Because in thinking about my favorite face or heel of the week, I think it might actually be Paul Heyman. I love the ability. I loved it with Bray Wyatt, and I love it with Heyman, that a match doesn't even need to occur, and somehow that segment is one of the most entertaining things that they had on the show.
Absolutely.
Like, no match. It was just him and Brock out there. And be honest, you don't even need Brock out there.
You don't. like, how many times have Heyman come out and did the promo for Brock without Brock even being there?
Exactly. I mean, that was the fact that you can have that 10, 12-minute segment, and that's still one of the most entertaining parts of a three-hour show, and there was no fighting.
I want him to come speak at my graduation.
Yes.
I want him to preside over my wedding.
I mean, that he could be no better than going over an entire church of people talking about how amazing your marriage would be to Becky Lynch.
Dare to dream.
Dare to dream. Dare to dream.
I get a little choked up right here.
With, obviously, as much as I would want to, Mojo as your best man. Because his best man speech would be a thing of beauty.
We would be up there and I'd be like, I don't know. He'd be like, you stay hype.
You do this.
You ain't hype. God, one of my favorite things with Mojo, I know we're going off on a tangent here, but one of my favorite things with Mojo is when he was in NXT and he got his cheek cut up and they're like tending to him and he's just yelling at the paramedic telling him, this ain't nothing. I'm too hyped to be hurt.
Right.
This ain't
nothing. As the wound opens more and more as he keeps talking.
You think a little blood's going to stop me? And like his cheek is hanging off his face, but God damn, Mojo Riley. I think that was the moment where I was like, this kid, and I'm going to go behind the scenes. I remember him from Maryland as a player. He still holds records.
Yes, exactly.
And I remember him. And anyway, he just was amazing.
Amazing.
Him as my best man and marrying Becky Lynch and Paul Heyman presiding over it as the minister.
Right. That's a wedding of dreams right there.
I mean, I would invite you, obviously, just for the gift.
We're live streaming that whole shit.
I just invite you as a gift. I mean, you're probably my best friend, but I would just invite you for the gift.
And I would not be upset about that.
You couldn't be.
No. All I know is this laptop and that microphone's coming, and we're recording the whole fucking thing.
Hells to the fucking yeah.
All right, so then what do you think about your storyline of the week? Because I think with everything that happened, because I feel it got me so pumped and so wanting to watch SmackDown, I have to say the Under Siege attack by Raw.
Ooh, you like that one?
Like, I think because it, for the first time in a while, made me feel like I have to watch the Tuesday night's episode immediately. Like, I wanted to know what happened, even though, as we discussed, nothing happened. But because that made me want to watch SmackDown, I have to say that that was my favorite storyline.
Yeah, I gotta say, for all the crap that we sift through with the being WWE fans, this was a really good week for WWE.
It was.
That is really close, but I'm gonna go with, just because it was done in the matter of 2 days, and then you get the buildup of AJ Styles flying from Buenos Aires, I think it was, flying from there to do this match with Finn Balor. Then you have him carry on into the Monday Night Raw where he teams up with The Shield.
Yes.
Only to turn on all of them to be part of Team Blue and run through the background and beat the piss out. Like, you see him beating up on Seth Rollins.
Yes. Who a mere just 2.5 hours ago.
And they were shaking hands. And thought they were going out for beers and some, you know, burgers. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I am going to go with, and it probably shows you how much of a mark I am, my favorite story, although it is beginning, middle, and end done.
Right.
The Finn Balor AJ Styles match.
Yes.
Because that to me is a thing of memory. Like, you will always remember that.
I can totally agree. I can totally agree. That is a match that I would feel completely comfortable rewatching multiple times.
I could watch it again and again.
Yeah.
So I was very happy with that. And I think that's what, you know, I want as a fan, but I realize we can't have all the time.
Yes.
But I think you have two mirror athletes with the same amount of talent, and they demonstrated that, and they demonstrated it well. That would be mine.
I like it. I like it.
All right. So
we can get into the local events. Now, so this last weekend, we had an MCW local event actually occurred. One we'd been promoting for these low menu two episodes previous. We actually had one that happened.
We're huge on the promotion train.
Well,
let me knock out this real quick. Right Coast Pro, we're looking forward to this. It's November 4th. It's a turn back time. You got Big Gene Snitsky.
Good old Snitsky.
You finally said it right.
That's only because you said it first.
All right. So Big Gene Snitsky, we all know him, former WWE star, is going to verse their current champion. Do you want to say it, or do you want me to say it?
The problem is whenever one of us says it, the other one just starts laughing halfway through.
All right. So it's the definition of a ring technician. Harry M. Baldwin. Who puts their middle initial in their wrestling name? Unfucking believable.
I love it. I will say, when you start looking down the rosters of local events, the names that they are coming up with nowadays are pretty phenomenal.
All right. just wait, because we got to go over some of these MCW events.
Okay.
Listen, as much as we make fun of the name, these wrestlers are talented. These Right Coast Pro wrestlers are talented, and the shows are amazing.
Amazing.
So you got to go. Remember, November 4th, it's the Turn Back Time episode, I don't want to call it an episode.
Event.
Thank you. If you're interested, tickets, you can go to Right Coast Pro, all one word, and Right is RIGHT, rightcoastpro.com. The tickets are on sale there. They're very reasonable, and it's a ton of fun for the whole family.
Yeah, it's a huge, they're big at Right Coast by making it a family event.
Yeah.
You know, everyone involved, kids,
everything.
You will
see a ton of talent, and it'll be awesome. So I'm going to let you do the MCW Autumn Armageddon, because this is a whole series, right?
It's a whole series. We thought it was just an event, but they're doing like an Autumn Armageddon 2017 tour.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was my fault because I was like, oh, MCW usually does like an event.
Right, they're like an event a month kind of thing, but this is like a whole tour.
You corrected me on
this
that.
This is a whole
You're
tour.
Like, it's like the tour. Like, I want the t-shirt now.
Right.
Like, what cities have
exactly.
they gone to?
That's what it feels like. So it started out with Brandon Scott pinning Swipe Right Joe Keys. Swipe
Love
Right Joe Keys.
Swipe Right Joe Keys.
It was a great name.
And it was a good match.
It was a good match. So Scott wins, and then we have one of our personal favorites, who we already talked about, the current MCW champion and the 2017 Shane SmackDown Memorial Cup champion, Joey Mercury.
We love us some Joey Mercury.
We love us some Joey Mercury. He comes out. He's all excited. He's there to congratulate Scott.
With Miss Tara.
With Miss Tara.
And
then Keys come out and attacks Scott from behind.
Yeah.
And Mercury's like, you know what? I like you, Keys. We need to work together more because you're the kind of guy I'm looking for. I love that.
I like this.
I love heel Joey Mercury.
Yeah, I like me some heel Joey Mercury.
He's amazing. And then, like I said, the names. Whether you go to these events or not, we have Da Bomb Squad, which is Trickney and Malcolm Moses.
Love me some Trickney.
With Bishop Khan defeating the Punk Rock All-Stars. After Khan was able to remove Carter from the right, leaving Cannon the victim of a doomsday device. What sort of description is that? All I know is it sounds entertaining as fuck.
The Bomb Squad and their finishing move is the doomsday device.
Doomsday device.
How is that not WWE already?
I love it.
That's awesome.
I love it. There was the MCW, which is now currently their women's title, which is actually vacant. Nobody has it at this moment. We had Dante Caballero distracting the referee at Sahara 7, spelled S-E number 7-E-N. Yeah. All right. Used to beat up Brittany Blake. I mean, I love these names.
You missed it up. So 7 uses a handful of tights and the roll-up on Brittany Blake to get the pin. So she cheated, but she won.
Right, by wrapping her up in tights.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was horrible.
How are we not going to these shows every time?
I don't know how we missed this one. So then Manchester Street Fight, where there's chairs and trash cans and dog collars. And I don't know. I think somebody put a rolling pin and a box of Pampers in there.
Right, right. And if somebody was thrown into a trash truck and crushed, a la TLC, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Who cares? But we got Drolix Pin Ken Dixon.
I mean, these phenomenal names.
Drolix sounds like a hemorrhoid cream.
It does.
Like,
it does.
Hey, Craig, I've got an itchy asshole. Do you have a prescription or something that may help me?
Have you looked into Drolix, my friend?
Ooh, Drolix. I should try that on my itchy asshole.
And then, which I was unaware of, I thought he was just there to play, just there to sign some autographs, take some pictures.
Pictures and autograph time.
But Coco Beware fought in a tag team match. Coco Beware's got to be, what, 97?
Coco Beware, it's like the spirit of Coco Beware showed up.
It's got to be at this point.
Okay, but so he's wrestling. He's with Ryan McBride and John Piper and Tom,
Garrettis? Yeah,
whoever that dude is.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat up on Robbie Locke and the Rockin' Bowl Express.
Which includes Mr. 300, Nick Jeremy, Stroker Lane, and Thick Vic. Which I assume are just porn names, right? Stroker Lane and Thick Vic. Isn't it supposed to be the street you were born on and your first pet? Lane is obviously that.
But let's be honest. Some great names.
Those are great names.
Great names.
I think I'm just going to start going by Thick Vic everywhere I go.
I'm going to be Stroker Lane.
Stroker Lane. What's Stroker the name Lane for that reservation? Thick Vic, please.
And who is your partner? Stroker Lane.
Oh, gotta love it.
And then we have the MCW Rage TV title match.
With the current champion, Greg Alexson, got to retain his title.
Alexson?
Where the current champion, Greg Excellent, got to retain his title over Dante Caballero.
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 I don't often wrestle under this name, but when I do, it's Dante Caballero.
I mean, I love it. I love it.
He reversed Caballero into a roll-up for the pin. Are you shitting me?
I mean, seriously, you read the recaps of these events, and it's like, this is amazing. This seems like something we would write if we were just making up a wrestling event.
But I'm not going to lie. These are probably much more entertaining than WWE
right now.
Much
more entertaining.
Because it's just like, it's so crazy and shitty that just want to watch it.
What match do you want to watch? Do you want to watch Sami Zayn versus Randy Orton? Or do you want to watch an MCW Tag Team Championship of Guns for Hire over the Appalachian Outlaws? What sounds more entertaining?
Well, anything Guns for Hire and Appalachian Outlaws, I'm thinking Moonshine and Banjo.
Right, exactly. So, especially when one of the Appalachian Outlaws is called Hoss Hagood.
Hoss Hagood, and then you got Bo Nakoda.
I mean, come on, that's beautiful.
That's awesome.
I love it.
But anyway, then we get into their heavyweight title match.
With our good friend Joey Mercury.
Yes.
I mean, how can we not love that? But then he lost. He actually lost by DQ after Mercury had some assistance from all of his friends, including wonderful right swipe Joe Keys from earlier.
Well, what about Dante Caballero?
Dante Caballero helped as well.
I just like saying his name now. Yeah, he helped in the beatdown as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, because he lost through disqualification, Joey Mercury still holds the title.
But you gotta love.
Let's be honest, it's Joey Mercury. You're not taking that away from him.
Yeah. No, of course not.
So,
but then you have the MCW general manager, Phil Stamper, announced after seeing what would happen, it would be the team of Bruiser, Excellent, and Scott versus Caballero, Keys, and Mercury. And if Bruiser's team won, Bruiser becomes the NCW champion. But once again, Mercury wins.
Yeah, he used the rope to help him pin Brandon Scott. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I love it. But I love it. And then you want to see this again because the next step of this tour is actually on a Friday night, November 10th, over in good old Joppa.
In Joppa, Maryland.
Joppa, Maryland. And the wonderful person you have to meet this time, because it was Kevin Nash at the last one, and Coco Beware, now you have freaking Road Warrior Animals going to be there.
And Paul Ellering.
Yes.
He was one of the prolific managers in the 90s. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest.
Exactly.
That's kind of a good
show. Those two
show.
Together, I mean, those are worth going to and getting some pictures with.
Yeah, but I mean, so if you're interested, you can get tickets at mcwprowrestling.com. And they're good venues, good shows, and we're looking forward to maybe getting some of their wrestlers on here. Our first one, actually, is Harry M. Baldwin, the definition of ring technician.
I mean, that would be perfect.
If we can get that,
we can get that guy on from Right Coast, we're golden right there.
All
right,
so that leads us into our moment.
And this was a rough one trying to decide. But I think when John scoured the internet and found this moment, it made all of us laugh. It made us all happy.
I didn't have to scour very far. As soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, that's a soundbite we need to have.
Right.
So we will leave you with this, a moment of bliss. She may not be too bright, but she does have some special assets and is a special lady in our world. So here it is, your moment of bliss.
I don't even know what that really means. I mean, I like my butt. It's cute.
You are welcome.
You are welcome.
And Alexa, thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
So here we are. We're at the end of the show again. What we want to do, as always, we want to thank Jason Wilson from Resolution Alley. He is the one that made our intro music. His album drops, I believe, in 2 weeks.
Something like that, yeah.
We're getting really close.
We're getting really close. When it comes out, we will let you know, and we will probably have Jason on to discuss the album and discuss his own personal experience with some of these local events.
You guys, he's awesome. So anyway, we got to thank him. We're going to thank, once again, our sound man, Freddie B.
Freddie B, he's one hell of a hype man.
He's dropping it like it's hot.
He's almost like he's our own personal Mojo.
Yep. We're going to go with Mommy and Daddy, our parent element. We got to thank Take Two Podcast.
We do. We have to say thank you for letting us do this and exploring this wonderful nerd wrestling culture that, you know, I'm glad we get to actually express our love for.
Oh, God, yes. And then, guys, if you want to get hold of us, remember, we have an open challenge to you. We have thrown down the gauntlet. We are looking for a name for our tag team.
Yes, yes.
So if you guys have any suggestions, you can hit us up at Take Two Takedown, all one word, and it's TAKETOO Takedown at gmail.com. Hit us up with that. Any suggestions, things, anything you want to talk about, put it on there.
And now that holiday season is coming upon us, you know, you can also go to TakeTwoPodcast.com and you can click on our Amazon link, buy some stuff. Buy it for your friends, and if you are unaware of this, while I do love WWE Shop, you can actually also buy WWE official t-shirts on Amazon.
And sometimes they're cheaper.
They are sometimes cheaper. So you go on there, you purchase your own Finn Balor t-shirt, you purchase your own Paul Heyman t-shirt, which I don't know if they have, but they really should have, right?
If they did, I want one.
We should probably get them, or at least make sure that they have them soon.
I'm going to have one made.
Yeah. You can get your own kid sister DJ Tanner t-shirt, whatever it is you want. Whatever it is, maybe on there.
Stop with the DJ Tanner. That's hilarious.
So you get on there, you click on the menu, you find the Amazon link, you buy stuff. We get a nice little kickback from that, and we appreciate it because it keeps shows like this going, our regular Take Two show and all these lovely spinoffs we have.
So outside of that, Craig, you got anything to sell?
I got nothing else. We're glad you guys joined us again for episode 3, and we're going to do our best to be here again for episode 4. Yeah. I mean, I think if we hit 5 episodes... That's pretty much a milestone that I did not see coming.
Yeah. Just so you know, we here in the secret bunker under Vince McMahon's house, you didn't hear any labor or contractor. We had all the tables, ladders, and chairs removed. We are now setting up for Survivor Series.
Right.
Craig, I don't know. What are you? You Team Raw or Team SmackDown?
I mean, I would say right now, because of their general beatdown of the entire roster, I have to say SmackDown at this moment. That may change. But I'm going Team Blue.
I like your style. I am going to go Team Red.
Mm-hmm. Just because.
for the simple being is, one, it counters your point, and two, I like the talent on Team Raw better than Team SmackDown.
That's probably true.
My goddess is a SmackDown babe.
She is. So I feel in these next few weeks, we're probably going to paint one half of the bunker entirely red and the other half entirely blue, right?
If you look behind you, it's already happening.
God damn it.
I'm sneaky like that.
You are.
Mm-hmm. And Triple H, when you come over for Thanksgiving, I know it's getting close, we will find you.
Yeah, we'll let you know. We'll give you a nice little USB drive of all these episodes. You can hear how much we love you guys.
Don't come looking for us.
No. We'll find you. All right, thanks, folks. On that note, we're out. Yes, we are on mic right now.
I will not talk about masturbating microphone stands again.
Well, you just did as big of the show. You're welcome.
Son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Alright, I just copy and pasted, as you see in the end, what happened at Autumn Armageddon in Manchester. We obviously do not need to read all of what happened. That's just everything that did happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I saw Toy Story 3. I know that Braun Strowman is, you know, went into a giant inferno where... I lost it. We'll cut it out.
My eyes got real big. Like, where the hell are you going with this, Craig?
We watched Toy Story 3 last night at my house. So, you know, how the toys get thrown into the dump, and then they start going into the fire, and they start to burn, and then they all hold hands, and then get saved.
There's, like, the power of toy magic or something? So,
don't act like you don't know.
I honestly don't.
God, you're a horrible human being.
I'm going to hell.
It's right. I'm just going to cut all this out anyway and edit it at the end. So
God,
it's fine.
I hate you so much. Maybe in a competition for the... Luke Harper and Rowan, the Bash Brothers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, I believe the Bash Brothers were from the Mighty Ducks.
You were right. What are they called? I'm pulling a total brain fart.
I know. Don't worry, I'm cutting all this out.
I don't know what that means,
but I like my butt. It's cute.
I thought that was pretty perfect.
Yeah.
I swear to God, we're taking you to that room. I gotta light your ass up.
That's it, folks. Just John's show now. I'm done.
That's it.
This has been a production of WTTP.
Take two podcast.